Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, praise the Lord for just opportunity to be in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of 2 Kings, book of 2 Kings chapter 5. I think that's just a little bit hot there, brother. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 19 as we've been studying the life of Elisha. And what a tremendous study it's already been. I didn't think it'd get much better after we studied the life of Elijah. But Elisha is actually performs more miracles than what Elijah did. And it's just been a blessing to see how God has now working through Elisha as he has continued just to be used in several different ways. Tonight, we have the privilege of studying a very well-known Bible story. And most everyone, if you've been in church very long at all, you've heard about the healing of Naaman, the healing of leprosy by Elisha with Naaman. And it is a great story overall, but I think there's some things in here that we're going to bring out that maybe will be even a greater help to you. And so if you will, go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 19, the healing of Naaman's leprosy. The Bible says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy.' It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.' And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over this place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, "Wash and be clean"? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will see none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burdened of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardoned my servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. Again, Father, we thank you for loving us. And thank you for the opportunity that you made available for us to be here. And I just pray, God, now that as we have assembled here, and each one with different things, no doubt, in their hearts and on their minds, and you know exactly what's taking place in each one. And I pray, God, that you would bless them tonight for their faithfulness to be in church. I ask, God, that you would just put your hand upon this service, continue to bless the preaching and the teaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, first of all, this great story in the Bible about the healing of leprosy from Naaman. I know a lot of people refer to him as King Naaman, and yet Naaman was not the king. That was not it. He was a servant. The Bible tells us who Naaman was in verse 1 when it says that Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was captain, top military position, a valuable leader for the Assyrian army, a valuable leader for his master, king of Syria, which had been Ben-Hadad. And he was very valuable because it was through him that the armies were able to defeat the great Assyrian nation and able to stay free from them. And it would be the nation of Syria that God would rise up and he would strengthen this nation to do some things that God wanted to have done. But it was because of the captain of the host, the leadership of Naaman, that Syria was able to be as strong as they were. And so the Bible says here that he was the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. That means that his master did not look to anybody to be in a higher position or more important to his kingdom than Naaman. So he would be somewhat to the king of Syria like Joseph would have been to Pharaoh. That's important to understand that, because that's exactly what God is going to be working to get done. He's going to turn Naaman to someone that would represent God in Syria. Just as he would have Pharaoh, a heathen nation, a heathen army, but he had Joseph, found favor in Pharaoh's sight, and God worked through Joseph to make Pharaoh a powerful leader. But it was God working through and blessing Joseph's leadership. Now God has raised up Syria, and he raised them up, and he gave them this powerful leader, this captain of the host, rather, in Naaman. But Naaman didn't know God. But in time, he would have an opportunity to learn of God. He would have an opportunity to be God's man in Syria. And I think that's a whole understanding of this text and what was taking place. And understanding who Naaman was, a great man with his master. The Bible says, by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. The Assyrian army was the powerful nation at this time. But the Syrian army now is starting to win their independence. And they are starting to, because of the hand of God upon this nation, God is lifting up this nation. And now worldwide, God is working here to deliver Syria from Assyrian bondage and strength. And so here, this is Naaman. And by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. That means that he was not given this position. He earned the position. He was probably, before he was made the captain of the host, he was one of the most powerful warriors that they had. He was out there like somewhat David, defeating the giants and proving to the rest of the host that he was a powerful and very valiant soldier. And so he made his way up. The one thing that the Bible says about him, all these great attributes, but then it says, but he was a leper. Meaning that in time the leprosy was going to debilitate him. Meaning the time that the leprosy would take his life prematurely. And he would not be able to do what he had been doing up to this point. Leprosy would work to destroy his life. And so he would find himself in need of a miracle, in need of some kind of healing. No doubt he had exhausted everything in Syria, every doctor, every witchcraft, no matter what it was. I mean, no doubt the prophets that were there, the gods that were there, but at no success, no avail. He was going to die. That's what the Bible says in verse 1. Now, we find here that in looking at this, again, something tonight I want you to be aware of is that God is aware of all people of all nations. All people of all nations. Sometimes we think that our God is just the God of America, but not at all. He's the God of the world. He has the whole world and eternity in view all the time. Don't ever forget that. Whatever he might be allowing in your life or doing in your life, it might not make sense in your own little neck of the woods, in your own little circumference of the world, but God sees you in the middle of the entire population of this earth. God is very much aware of all people and all nations. And it's God's will that all nations turn to him. And when they fail to turn to him, it's only when they find the judgments of God. They find that God allows other nations to rise up against them and destroy them. God allows them to have famines in the land. God allows them to destroy themselves, on and on and on. As we find this never more clearly in this study of Naaman and Elisha. And so now we find that he's over in Syria. Syria will present a threat to Israel. The Bible says in the next couple of verses there that there were some bands of Syrian soldiers, and it would have been somewhat loosely. They would have a lot of soldiers and all around, and whenever they would go to war, they'd bring them all together, but they would have them scattered around the borders of Syria. And at the borders of Israel, we find that there were some that would have went into Israel, and the Bible says, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman, on Naaman's wife. And so we find here that the Syria would have had some of these groups of soldiers, and of course, when they would want to pillage, they would go outside of Syria, and they would attack some of the bordering cities of Israel. And they would go in, they would pillage the cities, and they would take whatever they wanted to, and then they would leave and go back into Syria. I mean, that's still happening somewhat over in the Far East, even today. This how it works in those areas. But we find here that this was taking place in Syria. God had allowed this little maid to be placed in Naaman's house. That's what the Bible tells us next. And she had said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Now, understanding this, again, God has the whole world in view, and now we find that God's people are the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel right now, the king was not actually following after the leadership of God. It was not looking to God. The king at this particular time had turned away from the God of creation and started going back to Baal worship. There was prophets in the land, the prophets of Baal. Elisha would make it very clear when he would address the king later on so that people will know there is a prophet, a true prophet in the land. Amen? No doubt, none of the prophets of Baal was going to be able to cure Naaman of the leprosy. But how God had worked, that God allowed them, the Syrian armies, the bands, to go into Israel, and they pillaged a city. And in pillaging a city, they found this one little woman, and this little maid, the Bible says, and they would have taken her as a slave. As they would go in, they would kill the men, and they would take the women and children, they turn them into slaves, and take them back into Syria, and then sell them on an open market in slavery. Who knows what would have happened, how it happened with this woman. She had no doubt her family in Israel, and now she finds that the Syrians come in, and they destroy the city, they pillage the city, possibly killed her husband, and they take her into slavery. She goes back into Syria, and she's probably put on the auction block, and she's on the auction block, and there's a lot of people bidding for her. And somehow God directed Naaman's wife, through whoever she would have sent, needing some slaves in the house, and they bid on her and finally got the bid, and so now they bought her. Now they took her to Naaman's house. And how she worked in Naaman's house, somehow she became very close to Naaman's wife. And the Bible says that this little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. All of this had been taking place in her life. God allowed her to go through what she went through. Even after tragedy in her life, her faith was strong, and she made the best out of her situation. And she never stopped witnessing for the Lord. That's a powerful story in itself. Most would have said, God, if you're going to allow this to happen to me, if this is going to happen to me, I'm going to stop serving you and I'm not going to tell anybody else about you. No, this little lady, God understood. God allowed her to be taken into captivity and be taken and made into a slave because he knew her faith. And what she was going to do would impact the world. Because if it wasn't for this little maid and her witness, then Naaman would have never heard about the God of Israel and what he was able to do. But this one little maid, her faith is what got this ball rolling. You never know how God's going to use you. There's no insignificant people in God's house. Amen. Everyone has a purpose, and God has a plan, and God wants to work through you. You never know. God sees the whole world. We don't see it. We don't understand how this is going to impact others down the road, but can I tell you, God sees it all. And what he requires of us is not to get upset and start blaming God and doing this and doing that, but just keep your faith and realize if God allowed it, there has to be a reason and a purpose for it. Just witness. Just no matter what, continue to tell people how great a God that you serve is. Yeah. God's great. She witnessed for God. And so now we find that that comes to the ears of the king of Syria. The king of Syria, Ben-Hadad. And now he's thinking, there's hope. I might not lose my number one asset. I might not have to lose Naaman. And so I'm going to send a letter in his mind. If this kind of healing is taking place in Israel, surely the king will know about it. If somebody's in this world can cure cancer, the whole world ought to know about it. Amen. And no matter where it is, if it is proof positive that they can cure cancer, people will travel around the world to find a cure. And so now he hears there's someone in Israel who can cure leprosy. The king knows who I am. And he fears me. And I'm going to send, He's going to take care of my man. He's going to make sure that my man is cured of this leprosy. And so we find that the king of Israel is addressed. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel saying, now when, this verse 6, when this letter is coming to thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. The king of Israel, who had turned away from the God of Israel, only had the prophets of Baal at his disposal, had no clue. He had no clue. He was blinded to what God could do, because he had turned away from God. How sad. Jesus addressed that. Luke in chapter 4. Luke in chapter 4. Jesus addressed this king and the situation that took place in Israel. In Luke in chapter 4 and verse 27, Jesus says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias, the prophet." That's Elisha. "And none of them was cleansed." No person that had leprosy in Israel had been cleansed underneath this king, saving Naaman the Syrian. The king over the nation had the true prophet of God, and through the true prophet of God had the power of God, and he didn't even realize what he had in his own nation because he was too busy following after Baal and false gods. I don't know about you, but that resonates with me what's even our own land today. This powerful nation of the United States of America was made powerful by the hand of God. And we've had leaders of this nation that don't even understand what they could have done through the leadership of this nation if they would only point people to God, instead of pointing people to every other philosophy of life and every other religion and persecuting Christianity more than any other religion in this country. What God would be able to do through this nation if the leadership would realize what they had in God, as our forefathers did. Can you imagine what God could do through the United States of America if we had the testimony of God? But the sad part about it is there's other nations now that have a greater testimony, a greater Christian testimony than we do in the United States. The Philippines. I mean, the Filipinos, I was there for a couple weeks, and I'm telling you what, they packed out church this size. We get maybe 600 in here. They would get 2,000 in here. Yeah. The only time I've ever preached in my socks. Because they, and I don't know how the people would find their shoes, but they reverenced the sanctuary so much, they wouldn't even let people wear their shoes in the sanctuary. And they would take their shoes off, and they had a big corridor out in front of the sanctuary, and there was just all shoes. You think that somebody's going to take your coat? Yeah. But they reverenced God so much that they would not even wear their shoes into the sanctuary. And so if the people didn't wear the shoes, I had to take my shoes off. I felt so uncomfortable. But yet, no one else. I just made sure I didn't have any holes in my socks. And the people sitting on the edge of their pews and chairs, hanging off the rafters, I mean, everywhere in this place. And just had a hunger for the words of God, because they reverenced the preaching of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, I probably have never been more tempted to go to the mission field of the Philippines than I did coming back from that, just simply because of the hunger that the people had for the words of God. What we could do if we just acknowledge the God of the world as our God. King of Israel hadn't a clue. He thought that Ben-Hadad was seeking occasion to attack him. No one can cure leprosy. How in the world can he expect? Does he think I'm God? Does he think I can? I determine who lives and who dies? Surely he doesn't expect that I can do this. And so what he's doing, he's trying to have a reason to come against us and destroy Israel. That was his thoughts. But Elisha knew that God was working. In verse 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. Yeah. Let him come now to me, understanding who he was. And he shall know that there is a prophet. There is a man of God. There is someone who represents the Almighty in Israel. Now, Elisha knew that God was working, first of all, to shame Jehoram, who was the king of Israel at this time. He needed to be shamed. Any leader of this great United States of America that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ and the Ten Commandments and the Bible ought to be ashamed. If you understand the history of this great nation, what made this nation so great, they ought to be ashamed not to acknowledge the words of God. So he knew that God was working to shame Jehoram and to prepare Naaman to be a witness in Syria. Elisha, God's man, understood God's purpose and plan for what was going on. Naaman needed to be humbled before the one and only true God of the world. He hadn't been humbled yet. So we find here in chapter 5, verse 9, God's plan. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha, knowing that this was the most important man in the Syrian army. And Syria was on the uprise right now. They were going to be the most powerful nation. And so he stood in front of Elisha, came all the way from Syria, had a letter from the king. You will heal me of leprosy. I've heard that it's possible. I've heard you've been able to do this, and you will heal me. I mean, that's a come with more, not a humble spirit. But he came with a demanding spirit. Elisha knew he needed to be humbled. Elisha sent a messenger. Elisha was not going to do the things that Naaman expected. Surely, a man of my stature, he'll come out and face me eye to eye. And man, if he has this kind of power from some kind of a god, surely he'll be able to make the heavens thunder. And he'll put his hand out and he'll do something and we'll see this great act. And the leprosy will be just gone, taken away. That's not how God was going to do it. Elisha didn't even go out himself. Now, President of the United States come to your house to talk to you and you sent your little child out to talk to him. He might be a little bit upset. You're going to disrespect me? I've come to your house and all this and you won't even come out and talk to me? Somewhat the same thing was going on with Naaman. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. He had to get his mind changed. He had to get his spirit changed. If he's going to be used of God, he had to be humble. He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over this place and recover the leper. Naaman's pride. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, thinking this is a hoax. All of this, come across the country to come to this, it's all a hoax. There's nobody who can cure leprosy. Went away mad, angry. But he had somebody, one of his servants had some wisdom. And the servant spake to him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? If he told you to do a headstand, spin around 10 times, whatever. Something that would maybe pressure you or max you out and something that you could do. If it was hard, sometimes people think that about salvation. It's impossible that's so easy. There has to be more to it than that. For me to be saved, there's no way that I can just be given it. So he said to him, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? He said, calm down. Control yourself. If this man is truly a servant of God and he can cleanse leprosy, how foolish would we be not to do what he says to do? So he swallows his pride, gets his anger in check. He humbles himself. Can I tell you, pride will keep us from doing things God's way. And Satan will work through the pride of life. Man's wisdom, my thoughts, my ways. You better swallow that and yield to God's ways, God's thinking, God's direction. Much about that in the scriptures. Let me just read a few verses to you in the book of Proverbs. You can write them down here, but Proverbs has much to say about it. And first of all, in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2, let me read to you. The Bible says in verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Swallow your pride. Swallow your pride. Just do what God says to do. Do it His way. In chapter 16 and verse 18, it says this, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I mean, we're just outlining, explaining exactly who Naaman was at this point. Chapter 29, verse 23, says this, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. When you humble yourself, you find honor with God. When you swallow your pride and just focus on what God would have you to do, whether it be as forgiving somebody, loving somebody, whatever it might be, swallow your pride. Do what God says to do. Yeah. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Got to humble yourself. So Elisha knew that what was happening here was God was working on humbling Naaman and shaming the king of Israel. But once Naaman humbled himself and he did what God said to do, he was healed of the leprosy. What an experience. He yielded and humbled his heart before an almighty God. He came back a different man. He came back, Elisha knows he's a different man, and Elisha goes out to meet him face to face. Verse 15. And returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know. A changed man. Now he understood. Now he knows that there's only one true God. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He wanted to give him, he wanted to pay for it. When you get saved, you want to give, you want to. But God says, no. You lead somebody to the Lord, don't take advantage of that. They want to give you, don't take it at that point. Because then they think that you did it for money. You did it for gain. He said, no, I won't take that. But he refused. He refused. And he says, Naaman said, shall there not, then I pray thee, be given me thy servant 2 mules burden of earth. You understand what he was asking for here? Naaman acknowledges God and vows to remember him. Before he would leave Israel, he says, can I have some dirt to take with me? however much dirt that two mules could carry. Would you honor me as your servant? He's looking at Elisha and said, would you honor me as your servant and let me take back to my home some dirt from Israel? Before, he didn't even want to step in the water. Now he says, I want to remember this. And I'm going to take this dirt, whatever two mules can bear. And I'm going to make a monument, make something out there, but a reminder of how precious Israel was to him because of the God of Israel and his obedience to the God of Israel. He was able to be cured of leprosy. Can I tell you that only God knows how he used Naaman for future purposes? It's not recorded in the Bible. History records some things that we can look at. Could possibly have been because of the influence now, the godly influence of Naaman over Syrian, the king of Syria. But there's no doubt in my mind that he went back a different man. He went back a different man, understanding that there is no other God but the God of Israel. And he would have an impact on not only Syria, but on eternity, on future history. Can I tell you again? No one's insignificant in the Lord's work. And all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. And to those who acknowledge him and are called to a purpose in serving him. From this little maid, had to go through the tragic things, but there's no other way that she would have been able to be positioned where God wanted her to be positioned and get this thing started with her testimony, which impacted Naaman, which impacted the king of Israel. For now, he understood that Elisha was able to do something that none of his prophets could have done, that Baal could not have come close to doing, which give God an opportunity to work on the hearts and lives of all these that was affected by this. God has in view all the time every individual and all eternity. There's never a time that God does not have you and eternity in view. Trust in him. Humble yourself before an almighty God and just simply do what he says to do. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. What a great, powerful message from Elisha in the healing of Naaman. I don't know just what God spoke to you about tonight and how it impacted your life. I think every time that we avail ourselves to the preaching of the Word of God, to the reading of the book, God will speak to us in some way. God spoke to you tonight and you have need to come to this altar for whatever reason, we invite you to come. If you just want to acknowledge it in your pew, by all means, do that. Leave here knowing one of the most important things for me to learn is to humble myself before an almighty God. For his ways are much better than my ways. Father, we bow before you tonight. Again, we love you and thank you, Lord God, for the truths of your word. We thank you for this study on the life of Elisha. Especially as we just kind of went over this healing of Naaman and being able to point out some biblical principles, and I pray, God, that we would be strengthened by them. I pray now as we get ready to leave that you'd watch over us, get us all home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.